for how in trouble we are, Sam. And do you have a plan to apologize via song?
No, but, Joshua's doing a good job keeping the beat right there. You can notice we took the trouble to turn off the fan and the AC in this room so we could have pristine audio quality. However, we did put the elderly pit bull directly next to the microphone.
And he's cleaning his paws currently, and then he'll do fun, like, heavy breaths in between. Let's see.
Yeah, that's really nice. Listen, that's really adding to the ambience of this. And which is extra nice is that, you know, we are going to be talking about the original Joshua photo today, which we'll get to. We'll get to in time.
Yes.
But what a blessing to be able to talk about that photo with the man himself here on the mic.
That's right. And he's got the cleanest paws this side of the Mississippi.
Yep.
You've never seen paws so pristine, so clean.
No, you've never been truly clean until you've been pit bull clean.
Sparkling, brilliant even.
Yes.
Glittering.
Kaylee, how have you been?
Am I too far away from the mic?
No. Just,
are you sure?
I'm positive.
It sounds good to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really far back. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You don't have to yell.
We're traveling, and we're in Florida, and thus explains a lot to do with our big disappearance over the last couple of weeks. And I know you told me not to, Kaylee, don't harp on how sorry you are. Okay, I won't harp on it, but sorry, guys. I feel so bad. We have been so absolutely banana sandwiches slammed, like nothing we've ever seen before. And it's been really, really hard to keep up with all of things going on in the world in Dog Breath Land and in Kaylee and Sam Land. So anyway, here we are. We're in Florida right now. And because we're not home in our normal podcasting situation and little studio that we have up in New Hampshire, we are sitting on a couch next to a coffee table that has one singular microphone on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both kind of far away from it. So I feel like I have to yell, but Sam keeps giving me dirty looks.
Yeah, you don't have to wildly change the volume of your voice.
Also, Joshua's really doing a lot of volume himself.
Yes, we had this conversation before we went on air.
And how do you think it sounds? Because you're wearing the headphones. Tell me what that sounds like. What's the cacophony, symphony of Joshua sound like to you?
Listen, I think if there's going to be dog breathing or dog breath on any podcast, I think it can be this one. So
they said the name.
They said the name.
Should I put him down on his bed?
Play the theme song again.
Da 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 da. Bam.
Okay.
Insert song here.
Yeah. We're,
will you?
We're not.
Think about it.
Nope.
It would be so awesome. Hey.
So, yes.
Hey. Should I remove the pit bull from the couch and put him on his pit bull bed?
Listen, if you don't mind, we've got a bunch of fancy beds set up for him, so
okay,
perhaps
right,
he can do that.
I guess. This is so sad. Okay, Bobble. Come on. Your mother and your father are so professional right now,
mm-hmm.
doing the most professional job they've ever done on this podcast. He is, like, actively fighting me. Hold on. Bobby, come here. Careful. Oh, yeah. On your bed. Where's your bed? On your bed.
Good boy.
Wow. Good thing we got to listen to that in real time.
I know, that's good. Junie's on his bed, so he's like confused why he has to be on that other bed. But anyway, this is how the cookie crumbles. Okay. Hold on.
Oh, what time is it?
Chris Miller time.
Oh, very nice.
So I am doubtful that the quality of this audio is going to be great with me back here, but I'm just going with it because basically I blindly trust in you, Sam.
Great. It's gonna be good. Don't worry. I can hear you sipping your bubbly.
You can?
From 10 miles back from the mic.
I really let my guard down back here.
Listen, it's fine. Let's give these people a quick recap of kind of what's been going on down here.
Woo-hoo!
Before we get into the meat and potatoes of today. There's been a lot, like a cornucopia of different stuff happening kind of all at the same time. We've been trying to, like, have some enjoyable time just,
well,
like,
it's been mostly good.
It's been
mostly good. We've just had really one big topsy-turvy kind of situation. But other than that, it's been awesome. But it's been busy as heck.
Yes. So we'll get the tough stuff out of the way first. We did have a medical emergency with Junie, who is doing fine now. But it did require quite a few trips up to Gainesville, to their University of Gainesville.
No, University of Florida.
University of Florida, Gainesville Veterinary School or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, you haven't set the context. People who know us well might know where we are, but other people who don't know us, we're in the Villages. Oh, yeah. we're in the Villages. Sam looks pained that I'm talking about where we are for some reason. He's like squinching his eyebrows together like, oh God, this is so painful. Why is she talking? But Sam, this is a podcast and guess what? I'm supposed to talk. Mm-hmm. So this is the one time in life where you cannot shush me or silence me. How's that feel?
At what other time of life do I shush you or silence you?
Can you tell people who can't see what I'm doing what I'm doing?
You're pointing one gnarled, crooked finger at me.
That's a really good way to put it. Like, it was my most aggressive point, but the way that you just described it was like poetry. Beautiful. But anyway, so we're in the Villages where my mom lives, and we are staying here. We've been here for, what, a month?
About a month.
And
when was the last time a podcast came out? Because we haven't done one down here yet.
I know, I feel so bad. But don't harp on it, you said. We've been so busy and you can't feel bad about how busy we've been. Beep boop. So, thank you guys for sticking with us. God doesn't mean so much to me. But anyway, so yeah, we're in the Villages. And so we took Junie to an ER vet here in the Villages. And they were like, you need to go to Gainesville. And I was like, what? Because I thought that it's funny. I went to college here in Florida, but I don't know the geography of, like, these northern parts of the state, like, much, like, very well. So when they said Gainesville, I was like, are you kidding? I think that's, like, 4 or 5 hours away. And I think I was thinking that because from where I used to live in Florida, from Tampa and, like, St. Petersburg area, it is, I think, close to 4 hours. But from here, it was, what, 2 or 1.5?
It's between 1.5 and 2, depending on traffic. But yeah, we had to make a number of trips up there.
Yeah.
But what I will say, the positive stuff with all of this is that, number one, Junie is doing good. And number two, man, the vet that we saw up there was incredible.
Incredible.
And every once in a while, I mean, like, hopefully you never have an experience where you have to go see any vet, you know what I mean, other than for a nice friendly checkup.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
if you do, like, you can have wildly varying experiences. And we've seen a lot of vets for a lot of different reasons. But this vet in particular, she was super young. I mean, clearly went to this school, just graduated, is a vet now. So, like, I'm sure she gets a lot of, like, looks from, like, you know, older people who are just like, what do you know? Like, you're only 23 years old or whatever.
Yeah, probably.
But she had incredible communication skills. Her thoughts as to, like, what we should do and how we should treat Junie were the best that we've ever had. Like, we agree with them 100%. She came up with points that no one else had ever brought up. We had such an amazing experience, and I think that just seeing her will make it so that Junie can easily, you know, recover.
I hope so. Junie's on prednisone right now, though, and guys, I gotta tell you.
Oh, boy.
Junie wears prednisone pretty rough in terms of just, like, visually. She does pretty okay, actually, with, like, the side effects of it. I don't think she's feeling too bad or anything. She's acting like herself. But
she's a little monster for food.
She's a monster for food. That is a side effect, though.
Yeah.
She's already a monster for food, like, naturally, and then you add prednisone and forget it. Like, she's eating everything. She keeps stealing baguettes off the table. And you think I'm kidding, but it's actually true. We keep going to Panera and getting baguettes.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps stealing them off the table, which is not something she's ever done before. She's never actually taken food off the table before.
No, but she's so monstrous for food that she'll put her one paw up on a chair and she'll look me in the eyes.
Oh, yeah, right in the eyes. And challenge
And then I'll look
you.
At her. I was like,
she challenges you.
What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she turns and, hey, don't do it. And then she grabs a friggin' baguette
and takes it to her bed.
And then I have to take it from her because she can't eat a baguette right now.
Yeah. Oh, God, they're kissing. They're doing a lot of kissing, these two dogs, right now. It's a very beautiful thing.
And listen, they're not that far away from the mic now, so I'm sure we'll hear some of that sweet
pit bull loving. It's a chorus of kissing. But yeah, so she's, in addition to the eating, she's doing a lot of peeing because prednisone makes you pee a lot and drink a lot and all that. So she's doing all those normal things with it. But the other thing is she's getting that, like, pred head, which is, like, the short form term for, like, prednisone, the shape of the
prednisone,
a dog's head.
Prednisone is the long version. Yeah, it's the medical
prednisone
term.
Prednisone, hednisone. Yeah, and it's pretty rough on her because she looks like a needlehead. So she's lost a lot of her, like, muscles in her head. So she has this little needlehead going on, which is, like, a little small head. And her eyes are kind of sunken, which makes me super sad. And then she gets kind of a pot belly from it. She's been on it before in the past to treat, like, this, a similar thing that she's going through right now. And she looked like crap then, and she's starting to look like crap now, which makes me really sad. But she is very happy, and she's still doing her zoomies, and she's still doing her you know, little cheeky barks that she does, and she still wants to walk and play and all the things. So
listen, she's a tough kid. She'll bounce back. So that's been the more difficult stuff that we've been going
through.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of back and forth with a bit.
But on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, your mom got married.
Yeah, so that was one of the big reasons why we were down here. We had some shoots down here, some clients, some work to do in the Florida area, but then also it lined up really beautifully with my mom getting married, which was so awesome. Congratulations, Mom.
Yeah.
I don't think Mom listens to this, but I mean, she did for a time, but she doesn't really stick with much because her lack of focus is severe and extreme, mm-hmm. which is probably where I get my issues with focus. Thank you, Mother. But
listen, aside from your dad, who also celebrated his 80th right before we recorded the previous episode, like she's been, you know, unmarried since what, 1994? Seven or something like that.
I'm trying to think. Things are really escalating on the dog kissing front.
Yeah, so you might hear the sounds of what could sound like two pit bulls fully having sex.
Oh, come on. Well, listen, he's neutered, she's spayed, so a little bit of dry humping isn't going to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
Huh, Josh? Look at him.
Josh was living his best life.
Yeah, he is. He's so into it.
Anyway, so yeah, we've been using terms with your mom like, hey, will you go and find your husband and things like that.
I'm happy for her.
Yeah, so they had a lovely, you know, wedding, a really small wedding at a little hotel down here by the water. We came out of retirement from shooting weddings. So I used to shoot weddings back in the day, and every once in a while I would wrangle Kaylee into helping. We came out of retirement for shooting weddings to photograph
Mom's wedding. We were like kind of
excellent.
Like sort of orchestrating the whole day, and like we're also kind of in it, and we're also kind of shooting it
and DJing it.
Yeah, and DJing it. We did a lot, but it's okay. It was small. It was only like 20 something people. It was like really small and adorable, and you know my mom and her husband. Well, her husband's 70 and Mom's 69.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they didn't want to make like a huge deal of it. They felt actually
they kept going on and on about how old they were and how much they didn't want to be a big deal because, oh, we're just so old. We can't do anything. And I suggested, like, why don't you do the ceremony? You dig two shallow graves. You each stand in one, you hold hands in the middle.
And thank God my mom has like the biggest sense of humor. She loved that idea. She thought that was great. But no, their cake toppers though for the wedding cake were two dinosaurs. And one dinosaur was in a little wedding dress with a little veil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, the other was in a nice suit. It was very cute in a reference to their age. But, but my mom never, ever thought that she would, like, find love again. And what's so cool about, shout out to William, Mom's new husband, who we love. What's so cool about them and him is that they are, like, high school sweethearts.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to prom together in high school. And then just kind of parted ways and didn't really, like, stay connected or talk again until last year.
Yeah.
When he found her on Facebook, actually, of all places. So it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. One quick William story, and then we'll move on. And this is how you can, I think, very quickly win me over. And this is, you know, first impressions are important. So we're down here, and, you know, in the Villages, it's a golf cart community. So you get around via golf cart. And William owns a few golf carts, and he was letting us borrow one. And he's really loud in the microphone.
Joshua's really doing wild stuff. He's going crazy right now.
So we had Joshua down with us, and I was like, oh my God, I bet he would love a ride in a golf cart. He had never been before at that point. And I asked kind of tentatively, I was like, hey, if we put some blankets down on it, do you think we can maybe take him, you know, for like a ride once? And William's response was, I want him to go for a ride every day.
Aww.
And then I cried.
You're so funny. You're so, like, sensitive to, like, very specific certain situations.
It's mostly to do with these two dogs.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus.
I know. I love them so much. It makes me sick. Look at them.
So,
I mean, we're putting up with the sound in the mic right now just because he's so damn cute.
That's right. Yep. He earned it.
But we had to shut the AC off for this so we could have perfect silence, which means A, we got perfect silence until Joshua interrupted it, and B, it's getting hot in here.
It's getting hot. It is
and
Florida.
That's gonna add to Joshua's panting sound, by the way. So how did we do really in the end?
It's a vicious cycle.
Right.
Hey, anything else quickly?
I want to quickly shout out my friend Angela from Big White Dog Photography.
Mm-hmm.
She sent me the most beautiful package. It was so beautiful, and she sent it to me down here in Florida. And it was just really thoughtful. So she mentioned that she had heard on the podcast how much I love notebooks and I love writing things down. And I can't like type things. I have to write them by hand because it's so much more I don't know, visceral, like, of an experience for me. And it's so much more, like, meaningful to me. Like, I love to write, like, to-do lists and check them off, you know, this type of thing. If I have big ideas, I like to write them with a pen by hand and not, like, a list in notes on the computer. So she heard me say that, and she sent me the most beautiful notebook that she has, which it says D-O-G on the front, and then the acronym is, like, there's like a subtitle under the acronym which explains what it is, and it's Do Only Good. And I thought that was so beautiful. So anyway, it really made me so happy, and it was just a thoughtful thing with a beautiful card. So just want to shout out Angela. Thank you so much. It means so, so much to me. And we got it when we were going through some Junie stuff, so it really like brightened my day on like in the middle of like some hard days.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, you never know. If you're just doing a little kindness for someone, kind of when they're going to receive that kindness and what else was going on in their life that day. So
Yeah,
it was thoughtful to begin with, and it wound up being extra, extra special. So yes, big thank you to Angela.
Yes, yes.
That's awesome. You know, we're only down here for a few more days, and aside from a couple shoots that we have coming up.
Wait, I think there's a chance we might have to move Joshua.
We wanted to slide him away.
Here. Yeah, maybe you can just slide him to the other rug over
there. I'm going to slide. I'm not going to pause the recording, but I will slide them, and hopefully what you hear in the recording is the heavy panting moving slightly further away, just a little bit at a time.
Yeah, let's see how it goes.
We're going to slide
I'm going to be quiet.
Stay here.
They're like, it's like they're on a little ship in the ocean and they just like caught a wave. You know what I mean? They caught a little wave and now they're like fully on the other side of the house. It's great. They didn't stop at all what they were doing, by the way. Is this good podcasting? I mean, it's got to be, right? Well, there goes Joshua. Oh, he's getting some water. That's good. Yeah, put Junie over there because Junie's what he's like really interested in right now. Perfect work. I'm very proud of you. Okay. Here comes Sammo. What were you saying? I can't remember. You were onto something really fantastic and spectacular.
I was just summing up real quick that we've only got a few more days down here in the villages. Got some shoots planned. Still busy with all that stuff.
We have a shoot coming up with I don't know exactly how many we're going to get in one shot, but this person owns 7 border collies. Woo. I'm thinking maybe it'll be like 4 or 5 border collies. Well, I'll probably try to do all 7 in one shot and then like do like smaller groupings as well, because I gotta tell you, when I shoot like groups of dogs wide angle, if there's way too many, it actually is not as impressive looking. I don't know how to describe it. So I'm so excited though. I can't wait. That's Sunday. So that's coming up in two days. Yep. I can't wait. I have so many big ideas. I'm so excited for this shoot. Yep. So that's one of many that we've been on to while we've been down here.
We've also been working very hard on a very, very big project, which we keep teasing every week.
I know.
And it is coming soon.
It's very close to being able to actually talk about it.
It's getting very real on the daily. And what I will say just to tease it further is that when I was describing it to someone recently, it's one of those things that you say that you want to do when you're like a little kid.
Yeah.
And it's one of those types of dreams where like, wouldn't it be great if we did this? And it's just like, you know, no one ever does it.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, we were finally like, you know what? Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And so we will be able to talk about it very soon. It's going to be very exciting. I don't think you'll be able to avoid the announcement when it comes.
It's my biggest dream, my dream. Oh, my biggest dream. I'm looking at my sound waves on the computer when I do that, and I think they're too small.
Well, there's this thing called a multipressor.
Oh,
there's... Bop.
I'm trying to get the line to go really high and low.
You're trying to make it so that people listening to this get a very loud spike of your volume.
Is that fun? Is that fun for people?
It's not fun for anyone.
Okay.
So what I have hooked up to your track, by the way, the track that we're sharing.
Yes.
Is we have a compressor.
Okay.
We have a channel equalizer.
Oh, wow.
There's a gate. There's some gain. Oh, wow. And then there's a whole slew of mastering effects.
Oh, wow.
So there's a reason that this podcast sounds so damn good.
Oh, Sam Haddock's original, yep. I guess.
All right.
I guess. Well, one thing before we get to the photo that we got to say. Well, first Joshua is stuck on the bed with his butt straight up in the air, which is Junie's gone now from underneath him, and he's just literally by himself doing. It's amazing, and it's enjoyable for me visually. It's great. So in the villages, we've been doing a lot of golf carting around, which has been amazing and super fun. And a lot of the work that I've been doing, like I've been so busy with like lots of clerical and admin type of stuff as well, and lots of phone calls and Zoom calls and things like that. And what's so fun is I've been going down to the Starbucks in one of the villages squares, which is like on a lake. It's beautiful. And I've been taking like a lot of my calls down there and working down there, and like a live band plays every night, and I get to listen to the live band while I work. It's amazing. So been busy with that. But when we get back, we leave here in, I don't know, we're still trying to figure out exactly when we're going to leave, but like a week-ish or maybe a little less. And we're going, basically, we get home, we drop off the dogs, and we probably have like 24 hours, and then we get on a plane to go to Iceland.
Yeah, we're just going right to the next thing.
Right to Iceland. So we're going to Iceland. It never actually got announced like publicly because it actually sold out off of the wait list before we ever opened it up publicly. But we are going to Iceland for a dog photography retreat that we're teaching. It's a Barka retreat. It is Barkjavik. Haha, very clever, right? Barkjavik and Out of This World. And actually, this one isn't an Out of This World pet photography retreat, quote unquote. This one is actually an Out of This World pet photography adventure, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Because this one we're doing a little differently. And we're going to like different hotel every like night or two, right? Like every two nights, maybe?
It's about every two nights.
We're going to a new place to stay every two nights because we're doing a tour of the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go around that ring road that goes like around the entire kind of like circumference of the country. And we're going to see like basically all the most incredible sights, and things that Iceland has to offer. And we have shoots everywhere with dogs. And I think there's also puffins coming and horses and things like that. Well, the puffins are coming. They're not booked
in. Bring in the puffins. Like,
bring in the puffins, please. Puffin Santa, stage left. No, but we're going on like puffin tours and things. We're doing all kinds of crazy extra stuff that we do, like beyond a normal. The normal Barka. So I'm very excited. We're going to be there with Nicole Begley and Charlotte Reeves and Craig Turner Bullock and Samuel Haddix.
Oh, hello.
And then so many amazing, you know, friends and colleagues from the dog photography world who are all alumni of all the workshops that we have done previously. So like I said, it sold out off the wait list for people who we've already worked with, and some of them many times. So I'm really excited.
It's going to be an amazing crew, and something tells me that we will be seeing the photos from said workshop adventure and hearing all about it on a little podcast called Adventures in Dog Photography.
Oh, this one. You told me earlier that you couldn't replay the song. Oh, but oh, when it's your idea. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you get to sing Beep Boop Bop. You get to sing it, but you didn't have an apology song. You only can re-sing the theme song.
Mm-hmm. That's the only song I know.
No points for originality. No points at all.
Hey, listen, it's time. I think it's time to get into our photo this week because there's a lot to talk about with this one, even though on its surface level, it's a very, 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 very simple photo.
It's very simple. Probably like one of the simplest I've ever taken, but this photo has a lot of like history for dog breath. It's a big part of the dog breath lore, if you will.
It's definitely a big part of our lore.
Does that apply?
Yeah, no, it applies. So this story is canon to the dog breath lore.
Yes, exactly.
We're using all that terminology.
But don't confuse people, because not like the camera brand canon, even though it was shot with a Canon.
It sure was.
Canon as in what? Like in a storybook? What does canon mean?
Canon means, how would you describe
it? Give us a little education, Samo.
It's something that, in something that has a lot of story behind it, this is like an official part of the story.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So like, for example, Star Wars has video games with the characters that you know, and sometimes what happens in those video games is not canon to the real story that most people know and see in the theater.
How did this podcast just get so boring?
All right.
Anywho. Hey, I ate voodoo donuts today. I meant to mention.
Mm-hmm.
I ate 3/4 of one pink voodoo donut, and you ate 2 full voodoo donuts.
Yeah, I'm not messing around. Listen, I've also been eating vegetarian for a month.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you guys.
Now,
Sam's vegetarian suddenly.
It doesn't mean that I'm always eating healthy, hence the 2 donuts.
Right, but it is vegetarian.
Yeah, and I'm not going to turn this into like a podcast where I rant about being a vegetarian. And actually, I've been eating pescatarian, so I've been eating fish. But I will just say real quickly, after like a month of doing it, I feel way less tired.
Yeah.
Less tired. It's crazy.
I don't even know. Oh, I know what happened. We went to Disney, like right when we got here, we went to this Lynn restaurant where they bring you out basically like endless platters of just like different kinds of meats. Mm-hmm. Like think of like, I think one of those like Brazilian steakhouse style places, but it wasn't like that because it's on Disney property, but it was like kind of like the southwestern-y, like briskets and pulled porks and like all these things. And they just kept coming and coming and coming. And I ate just like, my favorite thing there is the corn, like, because the corn is just covered in butter. And
she loves corn.
Mostly what I eat is just like the corn and like the potatoes. But I mean, I had a little meat, but it wasn't much because I'm not like huge on meat anyways. I don't eat a ton of it. But Sam, I don't know what happened, but you must have eaten like a crap ton of meat that night.
I ate enough of it where my body was like, hey, I think that's enough for now.
Yeah, and on the way home, he literally looks at me and he's like, I think I'm a vegetarian now. And I was like, wait, what happened? Because, you know, Sam's always been like famously a very like, I don't know how we got here, but you've always been famously like a very like adventurous eater. Mm-hmm. You've always been like, oh, let me try alligator. Let me try kangaroo. You've eaten all kinds of weird animals. Oh, Junie, you all right? Is it June?
Yeah, it was June. I think I'm just getting older. I'm going through some changes.
Oh, no,
I'm
stop going through it. Changes. Calm down. Calm down. You're like the fittest, healthiest person I know.
Aw, thanks.
But I don't know. I mean, I think I'm proud of you. I think it's awesome that if you want to make a change, you can just like do it because you have ridiculous self-control. But I am not fully yet, but I will say that I did eat like strictly vegetarian with you for like what was like 10 days or something. Mm-hmm. And I was fine with it. I don't really eat a lot of meat anyway. So I was like, whatever. Like I'm totally cool with like quinoa and salads and avocado and whatever. And you can still have donuts, you know?
Yes. But like I said, we're not going to turn this into the vegetarian podcast. Yeah, if you're eating a steak right now, eat another one for me.
Yeah,
eat one in my honor.
Wow. But yeah, I didn't go fully veggie. So like when we're in Iceland, if there's like, I don't know, fun stuff. Maybe I'll try it. I won't eat anything too weird, but I'm open, so, you know.
Excellent. All right. Well, that little sidebar out of the way, let's get to describing this photo. This photo, by the way, if you head to Instagram and click on the little search icon in Instagram, and then when your keyboard pops up, you type you type in adventures really in dog here? Photography.
Yeah. And then, how do you spell it?
ADVENTURES.
Imagine if you did it wrong.
And then
space bar.
DOG, space bar, PHOTOGRAPHY.
No, what if you were like IE?
IE, yeah.
You just should have screwed it up right at the end for
Well,
like
but perfect. Then I can change the name on Instagram to match what I said.
Suddenly it's like French, it's like photography. Yeah.
Yes.
That would be brilliant. And what a great joke that would have been if we executed it properly.
Yes. Search for adventures in dog photography, and you can see this photo. We'll talk about it some other places you can see this photo coming up. But for now, Kaylee's going to do an amazing job describing it for if you're driving in your car, so you don't have to crash.
Okay. Well, this is a dog breath classic. So if you've followed me for a long time, you'd know this photo, likely. This is a photo of the happiest pit bull on Earth, which is what sells this image so hard, even though it's a very simple image. It's a full body shot of a pit bull standing on a bridge, and he is smiling so hard, quote unquote hard, that his eyes are closed. So he's like really cheesing, you know what I'm saying? And his ears are like kind of perked up, and he's just got like a ridiculously like human expression, which is very trademark to Joshua Rosenblatt's the pit bull himself, who is sitting right next to me right now. Did I mention this is a photo of Joshua? Let me mention it. It's Joshua. And he's standing on a bridge on a sunny day. You can see like far off in the background like blue sky and puffy white clouds, a little bit of like really beautiful like spring trees in bloom. But the biggest kind of draw, I think, aside from his expression and his like body language, which is so endearing, is the leading lines in the photo, because he's standing on a bridge. He's kind of positioned in the frame where you've got like really strong leading lines on the right and then strong leading lines on the left that really frame him, but also like they're a pretty cool compositional element. And he's wearing a harness, which is a bad part of this photo. I actually hate so much that he's wearing a harness. And do you know what, Sam? I bet you anything generative fill now in Adobe Photoshop could freaking tackle that monster.
Oh, you could definitely remove it.
Do you know
it.
Why? I mean, I've shot this in 2010?
2012.
Okay, so with that, there was no way, because this thing goes like, this is a difficult harness to remove with just like content aware or with like cloning.
Right. This is an easy walk harness that's going straight across his chest.
Yeah, exactly. And it's clipped to his collar because that's what they used to do at the shelter where I volunteered. So it was like he was still kind of a shelter dog basically at this point, which we'll get to. But that's why he's like clipped to like a million extra things than he would normally be if he was like trustworthy. Mm-hmm. But he was like brand new.
You did beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You did beautiful. Real quick, I'm just going to rattle off the settings for this photo because this is not your typical...
Wait, let me guess.
You want to guess?
This is one of the first ones in a long time that we've done that is not in my like super expected dog breath style.
Correct. Now, this was, September 2012. So I think you had literally just started shooting in that style. But obviously, we were just, you know, out for a walk with a camera.
We were literally out for a walk on the first day after adoption with our brand new dog.
Right. And that's what makes this photo so special.
Yes, so special. Yep. It's a 50 mil. It's going to be 50
mil. It's a 50.
And it's going to be shot at like 1.4 or maybe 2.0.
1.8.
All right, yeah. I was right in the middle there. And it's natural light for sure. There's no additional like added lighting or strobes or whatever. And it was probably at like 1/800th of a second.
Ooh, you're really close. 1/640th.
Oh shoot.
And okay. Yeah, this is with your 5D Mark III.
Oh wow.
A camera that we put a lot of miles on right at the beginning of Dog Breath. There's one of the things to talk about with this photo is the fact that like it was never meant to be like some big huge photo of ours. This was literally just like, let's take our brand new dog out for like his first walk, mm-hmm. and let's bring the camera along.
Yep, that's all. Yep. I literally had the camera on my person at all times at this time in my life. I mean, I still have the camera on me a lot, but at this time in my life, I mean, it was quite literally, I didn't walk anywhere. I didn't walk outside without
anywhere.
It.
Also like this is shot, I mean, pretty much right in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Maybe like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon
probably.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Like the light's not great, but he just happens to be standing in kind of a little patch of shade, so he's not horrific looking.
Yeah. I know, it kind of worked out really well. It was definitely just more of a have the camera with me to kind of like just document the day's adventure, like in a documentary style sort of way. Not like let's like do formal portraits necessarily, but this just happened to work out so beautifully because he was so full of expression. His mm-hmm. expression was like unbelievable. In fact, when I went to pick this photo to edit it, I remember going through this series of photos from, you know, this moment, and I almost picked this other one where like he still had the panty smile, but his eyes were open. And I was like, well, this one's a little more like straightforward and like traditional, so maybe I'll pick this. And then when I saw this one with the eyes closed, I was like, I don't know if people are gonna like respond to this the same way that I am, but I think that this is like the happiest expression I've ever seen. So I ended up picking this one, and my gosh, thank goodness I did, because this is, like, even to this day, still one of my, if not my, most popular photo of all time. And by most popular, I also mean most stolen.
Yeah, that's I think, one of the big things about this photo is that, like, I think if you just Google right now, like, smiling pitbull
or happy pitbull
or pitbull wallpaper,
yes,
or anything like that, like this photo just pops up a bajillion times.
It's crazy. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And a lot of the times, you know, when that happens, there's really not much you can do about it, or if there is something you can do about it, it's not worth doing anything about.
That's a little bit of hard guidance to give people, because it's always worth pursuing like copyright on your images, in that like you're the artist, you're the creator, you're the owner of the copyright. You should always protect that. You deserve that as an artist. But sometimes there are logistical challenges, like if your image is stolen in China, for example,
mm-hmm.
the copyright laws, like internationally, are, unless it's a country that has like a there's a specific treaty that there's like treaty, is that the right word? Like an agreement clause thing that exists between certain countries with copyright. I've gotten my images stolen like quite frequently in certain countries in South America. And there is a certain, oh God, I'm sounding like a dum-dum, but I think it's like a treaty between these countries and the U.S. to where they are pursuable by American lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like China, there's certain other countries that are like untouchable when it comes to copyright. And China's one of them. And honestly, that's where my images get stolen the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like a culture of like when you... I've never been to China. I'd love to go, you know, over there into China and Japan and overseas and into that part of the world. I've never really been there. But with that said, like, what I've seen from, like, videos and pictures and stuff is that, you know, there are definitely places in China where there's a lot of, like, knockoff things. So there's, like, a knockoff McDonald's brand, and there's a knockoff Starbucks, and there's actually even a fake Apple store. It looks just like the Apple store. It has, like, a very similar logo, almost exactly the same. But there's no way that these big companies like McDonald's and Disney and Apple can pursue copyright. And so, like, if they can't pursue it with, like, billions of dollars worth of lawyers, like, obviously, as an artist, it's not going to be worth your time to pursue those.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Sam means. But if somebody steals your image in a country where it's pursuable, please... please, like, make sure that you, like, follow up on that, because you own the copyright.
Yeah, as far as China goes, the way that our copyright lawyer explained it was, not only did... that's very loud when you put that can down, by
the way. Are you serious? Yes,
you're putting it down directly on top of the microphone.
What are you... okay, hold on. What are you saying? The microphone is here, to the left. Oh, about, I don't know, 14 inches to the right on the table is why I put
those headphones on.
Okay,
you're gonna put the drink down? Hear what you're doing, and now...
all right.
Here's my drink. Yeah. Oh, I'm Kaylee. I need a drink every 2 seconds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's why. Because it vibrated through the table.
Right.
Okay, I understand.
That. I'm just letting you know.
I hear it. I understand.
Okay, I understand. So our copyright lawyer explained to me that not only do they not have laws about that in China, the concept of copyright doesn't even exist in that culture. Simply, it's just not part of, like, the way that they're programmed to think. So that's... there's nothing you can do. But every once in a while, you see a more egregious use of a photo of yours that, you know, that came about illegally. With this photo in particular, we won't name names.
Yeah.
But there was a very large company that used this photo without our permission. And it's funny, we live in a society today where, like, I think a lot of people act on, like, the... I don't know, like, how is the person ever going to find out that I did this? But we live in a society where, like, there's so much connection with people, with, like, social media and that sort of thing, where basically we just got an email one day from a good friend of ours who was like, oh my god, I was so excited to see Joshua in the newsletter of blah, blah, blah.
No, it was not in a newsletter. Were you trying to keep it vague?
Yeah, so it was an email newsletter,
no,
or was
it
printed?
No, it was on a bag in a store.
No. She found this out originally because it was from a newsletter.
Okay,
and then,
well,
and
maybe she saw it in a newsletter, but it pointed to the actual product in a physical store with my image printed on the product.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And so she was like, I'm so excited to see Joshua in this newsletter. And
then she was like, congratulations, this is a huge account to get.
Right, and so
this
we're like...
a huge client. And I was like, oh my god.
Like, excuse me?
I was like, wait a minute, back up. This is not my client.
Yeah.
I've never spoken to anyone from this company, ever.
Yep. So that was kind of wild. And that was the first time where we were like, we should probably take, like, actual legal action about this, because he was being used, like, not only, like, in this advertisement, but they had also put him, like, onto a bag of, like, their own branded dog food.
Pet food, yeah.
Which, like, I mean, I don't even know if we would have licensed it legally to this particular brand.
Well, I mean, it's just... maybe if they would have gone through the right channels, you know, we would have had
we'll
that conversation. But, yeah, no, they just took it. Yep. They just kind of took it and appropriated it, which, by the way, blows my mind, because when I took this photo, I was never setting it up to be, like, this professional image. Like, Joshua is still wearing his, like, shitty-looking harness, which is, you know, as fellow dog photographers, if you're listening to this, like, you know, if you're going to take a beautiful photo that's going to stand the test of time in your portfolio and, like, really mean something, like, you're going to take the time to... set up the dog correctly. How did they get back over here is my question.
Because Sam's bed.
Okay. Sam's gone again because he's pulling now the second bed into the ocean of the other side of the house so Joshua can do his crazy stuff further away from the mic again. This is a fun episode, huh? This is fun, Sam-o. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Like, you would take the harness off, right, of the dog, and, like, you'd really set it up, like, properly. And honestly, you probably wouldn't shoot it in, like, terrible light like this. You would, like, plan a little bit more ahead for this to be, like, this one epic, iconic photo in your portfolio. This was never really meant to be that, but I had shared it. I think at the time it was just shared on, like, my Facebook page, probably. And it went really kind of viral back when viral was... a little bit more of a thing you can take, can kind of attain easily. Yeah, virality is a little bit elusive these days.
With but, like a photo and a story.
Right, like a simple like a, photo, yeah.
And not an 8-second reel with like a
even that, Sam, I wouldn't even say that it's almost impossible for those to go viral anymore either. There's too many cooks in the kitchen. When everyone's special, no one's special. You know what I mean. But anyway, so yeah, it was just like something I kind of threw up as like a cute little like eye candy thing on my Facebook, like nothing serious. And then it got taken and used everywhere. And I mean, I found it on like on certain like retailers' websites, like overseas retailers. They'd have like pictures of like TVs for sale, and mm-hmm. the TVs like on their website would have like this image is the background of the TV, like kind of mocked into the TV as like the holding screen or whatever. Like, i.e., the TV is like turned on. In the image.
Get it.
Oh, you get it.
We all get it.
All right. I just want to make sure. And there it is. Like, it was there. I found this in a lot of places. But this was the kind of the most egregious one in that this was like an American company, very well-known company, mm-hmm. very big company that like absolutely, yes, maybe they found it stolen on someone else's site. But of course, it is on them to like reverse search it. Which, by the way, my logo is, Joshua's being extra loud today, and it's awesome. Listen, we should be so grateful of his. He's almost 13 years old, and every single day, such a beautiful gift with this dog. And so all the noise that he's making right now, Sam, it is an absolute, isn't it a pleasure? Isn't it just a pleasure and a dream? In a special moment. I'm floundering, you know. I'm like over here by myself. I see that you're helping Joshua across the room, and I'm trying to fill up the space with words. Words, words, and more words. And sometimes words evade me, but usually they don't evade me. Usually I can talk for, 16 hours nonstop. But
usually they just spew out uncontrollably.
I'm just going with words, words, words. But anyways, yeah, so we're getting back to it. When we saw this particular use, we're like, okay, this is something we can like reasonably go after in like an American court of law. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
by the way, this was also a company I used to work for.
Oh.
When I was
wow,
young.
Wow, what a riot. I didn't actually know that. I guess I didn't know that fact about you.
Yeah.
But so we did get a lawyer who's still my lawyer today, by the way. He's incredible. He is such an incredible mm-hmm. he has written the book on this quite literally like many times over. And I've read all his books, and that's how I knew who he was, which is why I reached out to him and said, this guy's way too big time to ever reply to me, but let's just see. And he did. He replied to me, and he thought, oh my gosh, you have a great case. And sure enough, we did. And we settled out of court, and it was like, you know, for a newer photographer, because this was 2012, so I would have been like 2 years into the game.
Right.
This was a big like payday for a newer photographer.
Right. So this, but this whole thing happened in 2017.
Oh, I suppose that's true. Was it really that? I don't think it was that late.
It was, because do you remember what we purchased?
Yeah, we bought a car.
We bought a car with the lawsuit money.
We say it was Joshua's car.
Right, and do you remember what year that car is from?
Oh, I guess you're right.
Yes, of course I'm right.
Yeah, okay, you're right. So it was much later when this one came
about. Yeah, now this was like the 1 billionth time this photo had been stolen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was the first time it was by like, oh, this is not just like being used in some spammy wallpaper website. Yeah. This is like, oh, and it's a legit
But this has
company.
Been on like every blog about like, you know, pit bull health, and it's been on... Oh, boy, where have I seen this? I don't know. Every dog walking service website, like, I've ever seen has this on. Excuse me.
Wow.
You're going to have to beep it. You're going to have to beep it. Babe, look at the timestamp.
Oh, good.
Look at the timestamp.
Yeah, I love more 42, work to do.
42. 42-50. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
And you're going to go beep because I got mad and I said a bad word.
Yeah, I know.
All right, but it's on, like... Listen, I could list the places forever and ever. And this has been stolen many times since. And in one case has been also brought to court again in a different scenario. And also we won on it. So this image actually has brought me a lot, way more money than I ever expected a photo of my own dog would bring me.
Right. So now here's the question is like, why is this photo so popular in that sense and so stealable and so like... And it resonates with people when they literally just search for like his breed. You know what I mean? Yeah, like what is it about this photo?
It's the expression.
Yeah.
It's what it is. It's a very human expression. It's very much like people love to anthropomorphize animals. And and they love to like assign human qualities to animals, to dogs especially, like, oh, he's so happy, you know, or he's so sad, he's missing someone, or he's joyful or whatever. We like to assign qualities which may or may not be real. In this case, I mean, it's happiness that we're assigning. It's joy. It's like unbridled joy. It's very like unique to dog how like joyful he is and happy in this photo. And I think actually he truly is incredibly happy. He's kind of got, he's panting, and but he's got his eyes closed. So he's like really, he's kind of overwhelmed and excited and happy.
Yeah. I know everything about this dog and all of his expressions and micro expressions and this sort of thing. And this is not him stressed. I've seen this dog stressed many times.
He gets like the really telltale, like super trademark, like whale eye thing that like pit bull breeds especially do when they get like so overwhelmed and they get the huge, huge eyes and they like look really hard right and left and like you see the white of the eye and then his ears get like pinned back to his head so you almost can't tell he has ears. But in this case, his ears are perked up as well. So it's like really beautiful moment of really like pure happiness here. And it truly was because, you know, we tell the stories behind these photos and this was Joshua's very first day with us. So we had adopted him like the day before, but he kind of came back to our apartment. We lived in Providence, Rhode Island at the time. And he came back to our apartment like more towards the nighttime-ish, right? And then this was like the next day, like our very first day. And we, like, kind of didn't know for sure if we were keeping him yet or not. Was he, like, a foster? Because he came from the rescue where I volunteer. So it was kind of like, hey, Kaylee, like, well, there's kind of a story behind his adoption as well. Because, like, I fell in love with him at the shelter. But he was in on an abuse case that was pretty severe and extreme. And he was so, so emaciated when he first came into the shelter that vets had to keep like a very close eye on him to see if he would recover and if they could like, you know, get him the right nutrition plan to get him back up to like be healthy and would he survive that and also would he have a temperament that would be like, you know, reasonable? Would he be able to forgive like what he went through, like the extreme kind of trauma of what he went through because he was like found in someone's basement and he was down there and he was chained to a wall and he was locked in and he was living in his own, you know, like excrement and pee and his paws were stained yellow and he was a really severe case of like emaciation and malnutrition because he hadn't been fed for weeks or whatever. So they weren't sure, you know, like how he was going to come out the other side of that. So I saw him, I fell in love with him, but then he was there for close to a year. He's a big inspiration for like everything I do because dogs like him that have languished behind the bars of a cage for so long without any like, you know, kind of attention or like love from a human being, except for the volunteers, shout out to them because they do beautiful work, at the shelter. But, you know, it was like, he inspires me so much and his like story inspires me so much. He like changed everything for me with his like beautiful quality of like incredible forgiveness, which is so uniquely dog, and he like just learned how to love again in such a big way. And I fell in love with him at the shelter, but we weren't really in the right position to adopt him at first because when he first came in, like at the beginning of the year, we were still living with your parents. We were like, this was what did you say, 2012? So we hadn't quite gotten like our first apartment together because we got together at like the end of like mid 2010, right?
Right.
This is when we met.
So when we got our apartment. I think we moved into our apartment on September 15th and then this photo was taken on September 17th.
Yeah, because I was like, oh my God, we got an apartment. Like, we got approved. We're in it. Like, the first day. I was like, I'm calling, you know, my people at the shelter. He was Joshua, actually. That's right. I said, Joshua, I've got to adopt him. It's time. Let's go get him. Like, I was waiting all this time to actually have the right, like, scenario at home and then finally it happened and then we went up to the shelter and I was going in to volunteer anyway, so I said, I'm here today and I'm finally ready. I want to take Joshua. And they said, like you could kind of see like the look cross everybody's face of like kind of oh shit look. And then they were like, Kaylee, we're so sorry to tell you, Joshua got adopted this morning. And I was like gutted. I felt sick to my stomach. Like, I waited too long. I waited a day too long, really? After he's been here for a year? A day too long? Like, I watched this dog be, like, rehabilitated into this incredible little soul. And, like, I was there with him, like, along the kind of course of all that time. And I wanted him to be a part of my life forever. And anyway, he was adopted. So, of course, I was super happy for him. But I was, like, kind of devastated for myself. And then a couple of days later, I got a call from the director of the shelter. And he's like, Kaylee. I'm like, you know, what's going on? Why am I getting a call from this guy? And he's like, I got some good news for you. Joshua has been returned. And he's back at the shelter. And I was like, are you kidding me? And it turns out that the people who adopted him had another dog existing dog that like did not take to Joshua. And I guess the existing dog was like kind of resource guarding and stuff because he had never shared like his home or his food or his toys with another dog. So he was kind of resource guarding, so it didn't really work out. So they brought Joshua back. And long story short, we adopted him. But Sam had never had a dog of his own. So it was a little bit like of a tentative situation for you.
Joshua was still my first dog.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So you didn't have so dogs growing up. Later. No? Which is so sad. What a sad and empty, cold childhood. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
So,
but it is. It's a beautiful thing to have
so,
a dog.
So yeah. So Kaylee, you were with Doug, who's been on this podcast before.
I was.
And who will be on this podcast
Doug.
Again.
Yeah.
When you picked up Joshua and I was working, and when I came home, I was greeted by a very growly, very yes. upset pit bull in the middle of our yes. hallway, and I did not know exactly what to do.
Because you never had a dog before, let alone, like, you know, a larger breed dog mm-hmm. that's, like, a powerful dog, you know? So yeah. But I had had pit bulls, and so I knew a lot about them. I feel extremely comfortable with the breed. I know a lot of their quirks. I know a lot of their, like, personality traits that tend to, like, go across the breed. But anyway, yeah, you came home and you brought him a toy. It was so cute. You had like a toy for him and a bone or a treat or something. And you like walked in, but he was still so brand new to our apartment yeah. that he didn't understand like who's this random guy now walking in this door that I just finally got into. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't like aggressive, but he was scared. And he was like kind of growling at you a little.
Yep.
And I know you didn't know what to do. So you kind of got on the ground to like see him. And I was like, Sam, get up. Because I didn't know him well enough either, really, like, except for how he was at the shelter. But I was like, God forbid, you know what I mean? I don't know this dog well enough at this point. So I'm like, stand up. And then you did. And then we took it slow over the next few weeks. And like,
He only took like a couple of minutes to warm up to me. He was like, all right, this guy's cool.
Yeah, I know. But here. Remember, he was so scared of shadows.
He was scared. We had to sleep with the lights on.
Right. He was so scared of like everything at first.
He would greet people more with like a little growl than anything for a while.
Yeah,
which
he
is
was
not,
so scared.
Which is not great.
And by the way, he's like the most like people friendly dog of all time now.
Oh, yeah.
Like he will, any stranger that comes into the house, like, hey, are you here to rob us? Perfect.
Yeah. Well,
but let me show you the way.
Listen, here's the perfect example of Joshua's temperament, like, today. He was on the golf cart. We went for an ice cream the other day, and Kaylee went inside the store to get the ice cream. So he's on the golf cart, and I'm standing next to the golf cart, and I'm just talking to him or whatever, and this random man comes up behind him, fully behind him, and, like, basically, like, almost like wraps his arms around him, like he's giving him like
from
lots
behind,
of pets
yeah,
all of
yeah.
a sudden from behind. And as he's doing that, he's going, "Is he friendly?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, "Wow, what if he wasn't?"
I know. Luckily, he's super friendly.
I'm like, "Yeah, he's super cool. He's fine with anything." But yeah, no, this dog has been absolutely perfect. But this photo was our first little outing as a little family.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was getting back around to. Was like we had gotten him. And then it was like, okay, because he was having like a little bit issue like at first with you and he was like a little scared of people, I was like, are we keeping him or are we not? What are we doing? Are we fostering him and then making sure he gets a beautiful home that's like a good fit? Like, what are we doing? So we were still a little bit, and you were more tentative obviously than anything because you'd never had a dog before. And then this was like a big first dog to have. And, you know, getting a dog that like has such a dark and sad history is hard, you know, for a first dog. So anyway, this was our kind of our day out, like our first adventure with Joshua, our very first adventure. Like, let's take him to, we lived in Rhode Island and we were like, let's take him to like a walking trail, like a beautiful, like just nature walk type of thing. So that's what this was. This is literally like we got out of the car and the first thing you do is walk over this bridge and then you get over into the forest and you're on the walking trail
mm-hmm.
next to the river, right? And so this was us crossing over the river. And this is the first photo, like one of the first photos I ever took of him in his whole life was, you know, aside from what I shot at the shelter for his adoption profile, which by the way, I never wanted to put up because I didn't want him to get adopted. So yeah, anyway, so this was like one of the first ones ever.
This dog had no idea what he was in for.
Yeah.
How many photo shoots he was going to have. He's so over it now.
But how many dog food bags he was going to get end up on, how many TV shows he was going to be in, or like news segments he was going to be in, or like treat bags he was going to be on, or clothing. He's been on apparel, accessories. he's been everywhere.
Yep.
He's from the rags to riches, if you will.
That's right. We gave out the Joshua Award for basically help helping animals through photography last year. We gave that to Sophie Gamon.
Yep, we did.
We'll be giving that out again this year.
We will give it out again this year. Not that we're saying it will be at a Shutterhound.
It won't
we
be.
We will give it out this year, but there won't be at a Shutterhound. We will do another one. We never really addressed that with these people. Have we addressed that with our friends?
At what? If like, we're going to do another Shutterhound?
I think we have said, yes, we will, but we will not do it this year.
Right. Think about it. This is going to be like the dog photography Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. You know, have we said that though, or have we just not talked about it?
That's the only language I've been using is like, listen, if it's gonna happen, it's not gonna be every year. It's gonna get all diluted and not be special. But
well,
like,
it's not even that. Like, we are incredibly busy working dog photographers, and I don't want to give. I cannot give that up. Yeah. I've like worked my whole life for this dream job. It's my dream career, and we have gotten to the point where we're so. I feel so grateful. It's crazy to have a waiting list and to be able to. To be able to choose who we work with and pick, like, to work with some of the warmest, loveliest, most amazing, special people. Like, when we first started, we had to, it was a hard,
yeah, there was
hard
grind. There was a lot of $50 shoots.
And there was a lot of, like, dog birthday parties and, like, really things that are so off color for, like, my passion. Yeah.
And we worked
so hard to get here. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. Shutterhound is absolutely like was a huge dream come true, and it will continue to be a dream come true. But education is something I feel so lucky to have found, and I absolutely love. But my first passion is photographing dogs.
Yeah,
it's not. Let me put my whole career aside to be an educator. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So yes. Well, there'll be another Shutterhound at some point. It will be a big to do.
It will be a big deal.
It will have to be as big or bigger than the first one.
Yes. Yes.
And that can't happen every year.
No, I mean, but I kind of disagree. I feel like maybe it could, but like for you and me, it's something that is. Yeah, I don't know.
We're getting.
Am I doing a nice job? Am I doing a nice job?
You're doing a B minus job.
I would say actually it's more even like a C plus.
Yeah.
Or C even, just a regular C.
Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll talk more about Shutterhound though. We will talk more about Shutterhound for sure.
Great.
And it's going to be so magical and so amazing the next time we do it. But yes, it just won't be in 2024.
Sure. So what we were talking about was.
Is this 2024?
It sure is.
Okay.
All day.
I forgot. No. Well, yeah, actually, all day is actually technically
it
correct.
It is absolutely correct. So, yes, what we were mentioning is that Joshua's award, and yes, we will give out another one. This will be a yearly occurrence because, yeah, he is the big, big reason for us doing, you know, the things that we do.
I mean, Joshua's award is for, like, a rescue hero. So, like, somebody who's doing, like, the most good or an incredible and impressive amount of good with their two small hands. And the world of rescue shelter animals when it comes to photography as their medium. So I'm on the lookout. I always have my little eyeballs peeled, guys. So, you know, keep sharing your like amazing work that you're doing if you're working in the shelter environment because it is something that I'm super passionate about and something I definitely want to lift up and highlight.
We got our pulse on the industry.
Yeah, we got a pulse. We're going to pull a pulse. I'm going to put down my drink again. What do you think?
I think you've done it maybe a dozen times.
Well, I did it again.
And it's been just as loud every
time. Are we getting worse at podcasting or better?
I think one of us is getting better.
Me.
And one of us is getting worse every episode.
Oh, you mean me, Kaylee Greer, getting better. Sam, yeah. I'm sorry for you. I could help you brush up on your skills a little if you need.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of brushing up on our skills, any last thoughts before we sail off into the sunset for this week?
I would like to say that this photo is such a great example of how the moment trumps the technical.
Mm-hmm.
Every
I think that's
time,
the moral of the story.
The moment trumps the technical because this photo is not that technically like endearing or challenging. I would say that like the leading lines of the bridge are like really cool. Definitely like a compositional element that makes like the human brain happy for sure. But it's not like an exceptionally good, like the light isn't great, right? It's not the most amazing location I've ever seen. It's a nice location. It's fine. It's passable, right? Josh was wearing a shitty harness that's like really does take away from the impact of this photo. And honestly, now that I said like Genfilm might be able to do a good job with this, that maybe I'll try it. I don't know if I would like keep it or not because I feel a little disingenuous about it, but I would try to see what it does.
Yeah, give him a hat while you're at it.
Yeah, a little hat, a little tiny top hat. Or maybe a one of those hats with a little whizzy.
Propeller?
Yeah, a propeller on the top, like a dunce cap or whatever. Oh, that's not a dunce cap.
Those are two different hats.
Yeah, but you know, name me one more hat.
One more hat, a cowboy hat?
And a yarmulke.
Okay.
And wait, one more hat. And a sombrero.
Mm-hmm.
And a party hat.
Yeah.
Wait, do you want to name me another hat?
How about a nacho chip hat?
Do you dip your chip into the hat? Like, is there dip in it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I would argue that is maybe the greatest hat of all the hats we named.
It's certainly the the most edible hat.
Yeah, if you can eat out of it, then like I'm totally down. Yeah, so really, truly, you know, again, it's not an amazing location. It's okay. It's not good light. Joshua's wearing a harness. The settings are simple. It's not like technologically challenging to take like the 50 mil and pop it on and take a natural light shot. You know right. what I mean? It's not really all that impressive, but it's the moment. It's the expression. It's the way it makes you feel in your heart. And that is what makes it so stealable and what makes it so that we bought a car and then some, you know, a brand new car, my first brand new car my whole entire life. And you know, then some off of that, you know, the case we had, the first case we had with it. And then, you know, we've had a lot more, you know, stuff come up with this photo where this photo has made me way more money than I ever thought.
Yeah,
possible so, when I shot it on my walk with my brand new adopted dog. You know?
So keep stealing.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is just keep stealing it. Just keep stealing. I hope. I hope like the next person to like steal this is like J.M. Smucker. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like, how about like Nabisco?
Yeah. Would this be on what, dog jelly?
Yeah, dog jelly. Maybe I should just like put it on a long stick and poke the stick like into the CEO's like window a little bit and go, you know, and like move it around.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I catch his eye and he's like, oh, yes, this photo. Steal it. Steal it, please.
I'm pretty sure the CEO of Smuckers is the one making all the choices for
stealing the photos.
They're a pretty small company, from what I know.
Yeah. And of course, I can fit a stick in his window without getting, you know, like taken down by security guards.
And don't besmirch the good name of Smucker.
Oh, yeah, you're a Smucker, you know. Oh, good and benevolent Smucker. I can't say that word. Benevolent.
Yep.
Good and benevolent. Ah, he's benevolent.
Kaylee, I think you're spiraling.
Wait!
No.
No waiting?
No, because you're just going to fill it up with more nonsense.
I know, but I like nonsense. I like nonsense.
I think it's time for you to sign us off.
I don't even have a plan.
No?
I don't have a plan. I don't have a plan. Now, how do you rhyme the word plan? Sam, rhyme the word plan.
There's a man.
That Joshua's going to let in to rob us. Tonight.
Yeah, so if you're interested in robbing us, just come on in.
Come on down. And we'll see you real soon.
Adventures in Dog Photography with Kaylee Greer and Sam Haddix is a Dog Breath production. Follow us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.